Busy town board meeting on the 19th, and our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor, WHLC's reimbursement, did that get passed?
Yes, sir, it was. It was a unanimous vote to reimburse the radio station for the relocation of your antenna. When we extended the tower and the Verizon folks added their equipment to improve cell service here in Highlands.
I think this is just a given, but the town's audit clear.
We do undergo a town audit every year, and this year our independent accountant, Martin and Starnes and Associates, informed the board that we had a clean audit for this year. As they complete their audit, they send it to the local government commission of North Carolina, and their accountants also review the audit.
You had a couple of closed sessions. Let's start with the first one regarding the Duke reimbursement. I'm just going to step back. What happened?
For a number of years now, some of the smaller wholesale utility customers, i.e. a small community like Highlands, we have been in a legal battle over the contract with Duke Energy. Kevin has been our representative, and he met in closed session with the board to inform the board of a pending possible settlement with Duke Energy, which would involve the town getting a rebate on some of the money we've paid toward our contract. That is not final. It will continue to go on, but the board came out of closed session and authorized our town manager to work with Kevin in the final phase of this settlement and to sign an agreement on behalf of the town once a final agreement has been reached.
And we're getting all this money at once, but if not, obviously this is going to keep our rates down.
We will not get that money all at once. It is prorated over 4 years. And yes, what we do with those kind of rebates, we put it back toward our department to address certain maintenance issues. For example, last year we had to put in some new transmission lines, upgrade some lines going out 64 and also down to Horse Cove. And that cost about $300,000 when it was all done. And these kind of settlements help us maintain our system and hold the rates down. So that's the way that money will be appropriated.
Another big closed session was all about the company that we were going to pick that was going to control and manage our broadband. And we finally selected a company.
The decision was made to begin contract negotiations with Hotwire Communications. That is a company that is in several states, rated by Google as having some of the fastest broadband speeds in the world. They have strong financial resources, and we will start working with our town staff to develop a contract, a proposed contract. The board will review that contract. And once the board approves that contract, we will submit it to Hotwire. And as contractual agreements evolve, you have negotiations, give and take, and hopefully we can come to a contract agreement with Hotwire without delay. Some of the things that I think made Hotwire a strong candidate for leasing the dark fiber, they have some programs already in place in other communities. If you remember 5 years ago when we started this process, one of our objectives was that we wanted a smart city network. And that's why we call this the Highlands Smart Cities Fiber Optic Network now. That would involve the town being able to use that network to monitor our utilities. Hotwire already works with municipalities with systems that can do those things. A customer can sign up for home monitoring, their utilities. You can be somewhere, anywhere in the world, and if you want to turn your air conditioning on in Highlands, you could, or turn it off. A lot of times we have seasonal residents who leave. During the winter, you have a pipe that breaks, and all of a sudden there's a tremendous loss of water within a home. The Hotwire folks have a system where you can monitor, for example, your water usage. The $10.2 million that they are willing to pay over 25 years will cover all the cost of constructing the loan and all the costs that we have put into developing this system. Just recently talking to the Rotary Club about Highlands, one of the trends that I think we will see throughout the country, but especially places like Highlands, will be the evolving of a work-at-home community. This will put us in a very strategic position for our citizens to have that option if they desire.
Hank Ross of Highlands had a letter to the editor, and he said, in my view, just a brief little reading, broadband service to rural areas and small communities need government help to make it happen, much like TVA did and the Rural Electrification Administration did for electricity 100 years ago. And lastly, Mayor Patrick Taylor, Town Manager Josh Ward, the four town board members who support this difficult effort, thank you very much.
I think we're in a very good position in addressing this critical problem throughout Western Carolina and throughout, you know, the isolated rural communities throughout the nation. But there is a broader need to spur along the development of broadband to these rural communities beyond the cities. If we expect people to be able to participate in this new digital economy, they have to have access to survive. I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get this network up and underway very soon.
And switching gears back to COVID-19, Police Chief Andrea Holland notices that we are following through with our masks and social distancing, so we're ahead of that.
There's the concern that we're going to see a massive spike in the spread of COVID-19. We've learned a lot from the past. I certainly have as the mayor. This past week, I talked with the police chief, our town manager, and then I actually picked up the telephone and talked to some of my fellow mayors. And we just kind of did a little informal survey throughout Western Carolina, what other communities are doing and addressing the idea of encouraging people to wear masks in downtown areas and everything. And we then got back together and actually said, you know, Highlands is really doing very well. For example, I know people call me up and say, I saw somebody downtown not wearing a mask. I know that happens. I was downtown this past week also, along with doing this little survey. I noticed that about 90% of the people are, in fact, wearing a mask on the streets and in the stores. I talked to some of the merchants. They were very glad that we have a system where when people come into their store, they're expected to wear a mask. So I'm real proud of the downtown business leadership in instituting these basic protocols, and we need to continue to follow that. I spoke to the Rotary Club this past week on the state of the town, and I said, you know, I'm really optimistic, and here's what I mean. I'm concerned about this impending spike during the winter. Yes, we're facing maybe a surge in the spread of COVID, but the good news with the development of the vaccines, I'm hopeful that we can have vaccine available, especially to our critical populations, first responders, going into the spring, maybe in May. And I think that will really be a game changer for us. I was at a meeting this week of the Emergency Management Services of Macon County. Warren Cabe, our Director of Emergency Services, convenes this meeting about every month now, where we have all the stakeholders, hospitals, public health, law enforcement, education, the leadership of the towns and the county. We all come together and do an assessment of where we are with the COVID. I was really delighted to know that our public health department is already developing plans to administer the vaccine once it's available. And like I say, I think having a vaccine will really be a game changer. So I'm very optimistic that we're going to be able to get past this serious situation.
I think most of us are going to be staying put for Thanksgiving, and we'll have a tree lighting that's a little different. We have people that will be driving through Kelsey Hutchinson Park and watching the tree lighting while all of the guests, which you are one of them, will be on the radio listening. And then also the chamber presentation of the Christmas parade, that's also a drive-through.
Kay McCann came and asked that the downtown Main Street be closed from 5 to 9 on the night of the parade. The plan is to bring in floats and tableaus and displays and put them going down Main Street. Right. And then people can drive down, or even if you want to walk down on the sidewalks and look at the kind of, it's kind of a stationary parade. We will have Santa Claus will be in the park waving to the kids. It's different. It's being driven, of course, by our situation with the pandemic, but I think it will be a very nice way to celebrate the holidays and Christmas season. I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce and Kay, the Chamber Board, and everybody, her staff, for taking the time to try to modify these traditional events to where people can still enjoy the Christmas season.
And it's almost like we have to have a little stinger going, dun, 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 dun. Let's address some rumors.
Yes.
That the mayor is planning on closing stores December 4th.
Not the mayor so much, but probably that's been said too. The governor is the culprit who will close the stores on December 4th statewide. When I heard that rumor, I was concerned. I called the governor's office and talked to one of his field representatives. The representative is Drew Christie, who is related to our former Methodist minister, Paul Christie. And Drew told me that the governor has no plans to close retail or restaurants down on December 4th. That is strictly a rumor that it was news to him also. He says, we don't have a crystal ball about what will be the situation going into the winter. While there are no plans, and we hope that any kind of closures can be avoided, we can't take it off the table, and I understand what they're saying. But for right now, the governor does not have plans to close retail. The governor did make one change, and I think it's important to kind of clarify this. He did not change any of the capacity levels for restaurants, for retail. The things that we had already had in place in phase three remained. He did add one more thing, though. He said that indoor private gatherings will be limited to 10. And here's the way I interpret that and translate that. The governor's field representative confirmed that. The purpose is this. We cannot have, during the holidays, large parties and gatherings in private places like people's homes like we have in the past. That is nothing but a potential spreader of COVID. If you're inside in a private domicile or any kind of a private area, you can only have 10 people there. But when you think about it, let's say you have a Christmas party where you have 75 people at your house in a closed and tight area during the winter. That could be a formula for a big spread of COVID.
Rumor number two, the town has sent out a letter to regulate VRBO and rentals.
The town staff and the board is concerned about that issue. We have been studying what other communities have done in ordinances, but we haven't put together any ordinance at this point in time. So I wondered what was going on. The next day I talked to our town manager, Josh Ward. He was puzzled also. And then it kind of dawned on us what was happening. We have now a community plan in place. And one of the main points of the community plan is to encourage all of our residents to come to the Highlands website, to click on the community plan, and there is a survey that we want everyone to take. Within that survey that was developed by the Stewart Company, not by the mayor or the town manager or the planner, but by the Stewart Company, there are questions about VRBO and short-term rentals. What they're trying to do is to get a feeling from the public as to how they feel about that in Highlands. That, I believe, was the flashpoint of the rumor and concern that we are planning on doing this or that is not on the table at this point. It's just a process of getting, you know, as much feedback as we can about this very important issue. Let me also say this. I am very excited about the response to that survey. I checked with Michael Mathis, our assistant planner, just recently, and he said, Mayor, we've had 720 people already take the survey. Well, we have a permanent population of about 900 to 1,000 people. That's doing pretty good. I want everybody to be sure to take that survey. If you have not done it yet, it's a good, just go on our website, click on the community plan, and you'll see that survey, and we want everybody's input.
Now, I know that this is going to be a different Thanksgiving for you and your family, your daughter and the grandkids. Are you going to be Zooming? Are you going to be doing some videos? Or how are you going to spend your Thanksgiving?
Kind of a sad Thanksgiving, but we can all be thankful, I think, for what we have and happiness that we've experienced this past year in this time of trial. We won't be seeing our grandchildren or our daughters. My wife and I, one afternoon about a week ago, we were talking to both our children. And our son and his wife live in Washington, and they were going to come down to be with our daughter and their family in Atlanta, and we were going to come down. And we all just had a heart-to-heart conference and said, you know, this doesn't seem to be a big deal, but it could be because we're all getting together. We decided not to even do that. So we'll be celebrating our Thanksgiving in our own individual homes at a very small scale, but we will be thankful.
It's good to know that there'll be other Thanksgiving, so we have to
Absolutely.
Be careful.
We might have to kind of dial it back and maybe do a little sacrifice for this Thanksgiving, but we'll have the hope that the next Thanksgiving and the Thanksgivings to come will be wonderful opportunities to be with our friends and family.